You know the story of the parable of the prodigal son? You remember that one? Vaguely, maybe? Listen to these words from Luke, the 15th chapter. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had these two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. Will belong to me. So he's asking the father to say, you know what? I'd like some of my inheritance before you even die. Not necessarily the nicest thing to say to your dad. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and he traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off. He went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him. And filled with compassion, he ran, he put his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him, put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now when the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, what was going on? The slave replied, your brother has come home. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then the older son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead, has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Help us, God. That's the parable. The parable of the prodigal son. Do you know what the word... Do you ever use the word prodigal? Have you used the word prodigal recently? Why do we use words like that? It's not in the Bible. It's not called the prodigal son. It's just our I guess, American way of naming a parable. The parable of the prodigal son. You know what prodigal means? Any idea? It's an adjective, prodigal. Spending money or resources freely and recklessly. Wastefully extravagant. Synonyms are wasteful, extravagant, excessive, irresponsible. Or it can also mean having to give something on a lavish, having or giving something on a lavish scale. Prodigal. Story of the prodigal son. Question I have for you, though, is maybe what we probably should name this is then, instead of the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the wastefully extravagant son. The question is, this is what I want you to think about. Why did the son return home? What forced him to come back home? Ran out of bucks, right? I think the verse, it says he squandered his resources. You know, and that's a pretty bad thing to do, especially when it's an inheritance. I mean, he didn't even work for it. And you know, Americans, we don't like it when people squander what was given to them. It's not a good thing. There's a professor, and I've mentioned this before, a professor by the name of a Lutheran seminary professor, Mark Allen Powell, teaches at Trinity Seminary in Ohio. He's helped me with a concept called social location. I use that concept a lot. Your social location. We all have unique social locations, and our social location affects how we see the world. These are some of the things that affect our social location. Our race, our sex, our income, our education level, our career, our religion, where you live, your nationality. All those things help you see the world. Do you agree with that? That's your experience, in essence. Like, for instance, my wife and I can watch the same movie, and when we go to talk about it, in some ways she's seen something different than I have at times because of her social location. It helps. I'll tell you how it really helps me when I'm in an argument with someone, because I'm arguing from my social location, you're arguing from your social location. If you could just take a step back and listen to one another, you might learn something. But as Americans, our social location has a lot to do with producing things, producing wealth. And so squandered his resources is, you know, we read this parable and we say, boy, he messed up. What's really interesting is this Professor Powell, took the same parable to South Africa, read it to his seminary students, and they said, why did the son return home? You know what they said? South Africa. They said, because it's in the parable that no one gave him anything. They said, you don't need wealth. Squandering your resources, there's plenty of people in South Africa, they said, that don't have wealth, and yet they have community. They have one another. He said, if you don't have one another, if you don't have a social network around you, boom, you're not going to make it. That's from their social location. And it's in there. It's in the parable. You know, I read the parable all these years. Never saw that until it was pointed out to me. Because I focus on squandering his resources. So then he goes to seminary students in St. Petersburg, Russia. He asks, tells them the parable, and he says, why did the son return home? You know what they said? They said there was a famine. There was a famine. I don't know if you know what happened in St. Petersburg, Russia from 1941 to 1943. It was Leningrad at that time. The Nazis put a blockade around the city of St. Petersburg and starved it. Over 1.5 million people died from starvation in a city. And their point was, hey, you can have all the wealth in the world, can't buy anything if there's a famine. And you can have all your friends and family around you, it doesn't matter if there's a famine because there's no food coming in, nothing going out. That's why he went back to the home, because of a famine. Again, I never saw that. My social location is into wealth and squandering resources. But it's in there. It's in the parable. You see, what I want to say is I think this parable has more, or should help me rethink this parable, because it's not about a boy who squanders his wealth. And yet, that's what you might typically say. It's not a story of a wasteful son. It's a story of a wasteful father. It's a prodigal father who gives and gives and gives wastefully and extravagantly. And maybe that's what we should rename it. The parable of the wastefully extravagant father. And this father who gave half his inheritance and then ran to meet his son before the son said a word. Did you pick that up? The father has no idea. Has no idea. It's in there. Read the parable. Again, our social location as Christians in the United States. Oh, this is about heaven and hell. And this is about repenting. No, it's not about repenting. It's about the father. Jesus tells this parable to shock people into realizing that God that he believes in, the God he preaches about, teaches about, is a God who is wastefully extravagant with grace. And you know what? What did the elder son do? He didn't like it. He was the one working his tail off by his dad's side, keeping the farm alive. And you know what? I don't blame him for being mad. But he missed the party. Sometimes our own self-righteousness gets in the way. Both sons are lost. One receives grace. The other one does not want grace offered. Jesus tells this parable to help us not to change the mind of God about us, to help us change our mind about who God is. Wastefully extravagant. It's the prodigal father is what we should call this. So I hope in your week ahead, our social location might say, this is a parable about heaven and hell and repentance. I hope you understand it's a parable about the grace of the Father freely given to you. And I pray you freely give it to others. Be prodigal.